quarterback sack by G-Mac.
Now your host, TJ Reeves.
They can hear you now, yes.
Can you guys hear me?
We can. Yeah.
They didn't even want me on the show today. They wouldn't even turn my mic on.
Because the mic wasn't turned on yet.
Yeah, they didn't.
But, you know, it wasn't showtime yet. When it's showtime, then your mic gets turned on.
Your mic was on.
I understand that. So, anyway, welcome in. It is Total Access, and it is Gerald McCoy with us here on this Wednesday night, and he's ready to be heard from. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
Ready to talk to some Buccaneer fans and break down what we've got going on this week, including the matchup with Carolina?
Yeah. Let's talk about it, man. Let's talk about it.
All right, so I guess first things first, I always like to begin by asking you about how practice went today in the aftermath of a third straight win. You guys were back at it today on the practice field. Everything go all right?
Yeah, it's hard to – one thing it is hard to do is to come out and compete every day at game tempo in practice. But it was a fight for us today, but we did it. One thing I will say is we did it. It was a scrappy practice today because, you know, we're not letting up. We're not letting up. And never satisfied, never have it figured out. We can always get better. And there's a lot of things that we could fix. And, you know, it was our goal today to make sure that we came out and had a very solid practice to get the week started.
As a veteran player now, you've done this a couple of times. When it gets to this time of year, that's one of the challenges. I mean, the coach was talking the other night about, for a lot of the young guys, they're not used to playing this many games. And when you get to November, and then when you get to December, exactly what you're talking about, be ready to go Wednesday, Thursday for the next week of preparation. That's a little difficult from this time of the year. Just pick up on that point, if you would, because it's a challenge right now all around the NFL.
Not only that, man, you know, guys, just it's physical. It's very physical. You know, the season is long, and the young guys are not used to it. But, I mean, it's a very physical game. And, you know, I'm saying they not used to it. You know, me too. You know, I'm still trying to make it through a full season. So, you know, I'm having the same issues. And, you know, it's a grind. It definitely is, and you start to feel how deep you are into the season.
Momentum is being thrown around, as a word, all around town right now. This team has three consecutive wins, and I know you're going to tell me next opponent, but does this team have some momentum right now as we move into the second half of the season with three straight victories?
Yeah, of course you have momentum coming off, you know, consecutive wins. However, it's our goal in order to continue, you know, that momentum. We have to stay focused and actually not focus on that momentum. But our energy level has to go up. It has to go up regardless of how much of a struggle it is. It has to be done, and it needs to be done if we want to get to where we want to be. And it starts from the top down. You know, our coaches came in, and you would have thought we lost with how they coached us and how they were on us. Because they're never satisfied, and they won't allow us to be satisfied or get complacent. So in order to keep their momentum rolling, those are the things we have to do.
That's the idea, especially this time of year. You want to keep it going. You want to keep winning games because it sets up everything that you've worked for from the off-season program. I know I don't have to tell you this, training camp, preseason. If you are winning games in November and December, it sets up everything that you have worked for and planned for. That's for sure. All right, so you can join us tonight here on Buccaneers Total Access. Here's how you do it. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. If you want to ask a question, if you've got a comment here for Gerald as we go along on this Wednesday night. And as I mentioned, we will talk specifically about the Carolina Panthers as we go along on the show as well here this evening. So coming off of that game on Sunday, I was talking with Rondé about this last night. You look at the first half, where Phillip Rivers was having the success, especially Gerald on third down, that he was having. Then you look at the second half where you guys only allow 3 points. You get the takeaways that you got in the fourth quarter, including a touchdown, a pick six by Leonard Johnson. In looking back at that one last time, what was the difference in the second half, the improvement in the second half, the obvious improvement in the second half? What would you put your finger on?
We just played our brand of football, which is, hard-nosed, physical, focused football. There were plays that need to be made, and, our coaches have trained us from day one that we stepped in the building with the new coaching staff for a war and for a fight. And in the end, after fighting a whole bunch of battles, to win the war. And that's just what we did. We just fought hard, all the way into the end. But we couldn't just go out there and play hard. We had to focus and lock in on the things we didn't do right in the first half and get back to doing what we do, which is out-physical everybody we play against.
We have been playing that highlight of Leonard Johnson, and it's been playing on TV and radio now for about 3 days worth. And I think everybody is fairly familiar with that story of a young man that is an undrafted player who grew up rooting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who's in the right place at the right time when an interception happens, and not only makes the play, Gerald, but goes racing down the sideline, and with the help of teammates throwing a couple of blocks, gets into the end zone. That's an enormous play. It cannot be overstated. That's an enormous play in that game on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it definitely was, man. And, our coaches have a statement or a phrase. It's CTOTTY, catch the ones they throw you. Seriously.
Right.
CTOTTY, catch the ones they throw you. It simply means if they throw you throw you a ball, you got to catch it, intercept it, and we work on drills for that. And he literally threw it right to him, but everybody's like, oh, he threw it to him. He still had to catch it.
That's right.
And then he had to make the run.
That's
and a lot
right.
of people was like, well, he had a straight path. Well, he also broke a tackle to get there. So it was a great play on Leonard's part, and I'm happy for him, man. He's really stepped up.
Well, and it should not be glossed over. You were chasing Rivers on that play.
I don't talk about myself.
I understand that, but he was flushed out of the pocket and rolled to the right to the sideline when he threw the interception. I don't remember this. When the interception happened, did you get a block there? I know Rivers was in the play.
My momentum carried me all the way to the stands. Like, I ran over the sound guy and everything. So, what's funny about that is as I was running, chasing Rivers, I heard Rivers after he threw it. He said, no!
I saw you said that after the game. So you heard him.
I heard him yell, no! So I'm thinking, is he saying, no, don't tackle me? Is he saying, no, like I made a mistake? Or is he saying, the coach is telling him, throw it, and he's yelling no to them? I don't know what that meant, but I heard a yell. So I'm thinking, okay, surely it's not an interception. We just stopped him, get off the field.
But you hear the roar.
I hear the roar, and it doesn't stop. I'm like, what's going on? And I turn around, and Leonard's running, running to the house. I'm like, well, all right then. Good.
I think a lot of Buccaneer fans.
Right.
That may have been the least of their reaction would have been, well, all right then. I think a lot of their reactions were much more screaming and hollering. And again, a great moment there for that young man as an undrafted player who grew up in this area dreaming about playing for the Bucs to make a play like that. And we should also mention, it's still game on at that point. It's a 10-point lead, but there's still 13 minutes left in the game.
Definitely.
And you guys put the game away once again in the fourth quarter. Got another interception, eventually got a field goal, milked the clock some, and put the game away. And that's, I guess, to you again, and this is a great question to keep asking you. 3 weeks in a row, game could have gone either way in the fourth quarter. All three times as a team, you end up winning the football game. That's a great thing. Why is that happening now for the positive, for the good?
We're just finishing. Earlier in the season, we knew we needed to finish, but there were different keys and components, different plays we needed to make that we were not making, that the other team was making. Well, now we know we have to make those plays in the end. We can't allow them to, so when it's time for the defense to go out there to stop them, regardless of what's happened all game, you know, just like earlier in the season, somebody called in and said, well, you know, the defense is doing this. How do you feel when the offense is, you know, it doesn't matter. And I told them then, the offense does what we need them to when it's necessary. Same thing with us. Regardless of our struggles or whatever goes on, we're making the plays we need to when we need to. And that's at the end of the game. We needed to go out there and get a big stop, get the ball back in our offense's hands, put the pressure on Phillip. He threw the ball, interception. That's what's necessary, and that's what's getting us the wins.
That's the voice of Gerald McCoy. Again, it's Buccaneers Total Access. We are going to take your phone calls. We're going to talk more about the Carolina Panthers as we go along tonight as well. You can join us on the phones at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 as we go along here tonight. And we will be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We are back with number 93, Gerald McCoy, here on this Wednesday night as the Bucs get set to take on the Carolina Panthers. We continue to talk about the aftermath of that win over the Chargers as well. I know a lot of you are still excited about a three-game win streak, but you know these guys are now moving on to the next opponent. But hey, still, you know, it's hard. I remember John Gruden saying this all the time, and other coaches say this. It's hard to win in the NFL. And Gerald, you can pick up on this point too. It's hard to win a couple of games in a row. It becomes even more difficult when you start winning three in a row, or you look at winning four in a row. Because the other guys get paid too, and the other guys are talented too. That you should, as fans, you shouldn't take for granted that it's hard to win in the NFL, right?
Definitely, it's definitely hard to get a win. That's why you have, you know, teams that are that have the records they have now. I mean, it's just, and if you go look at some of the low win teams, if you look at the scores. They're losing by 3 points, 4 points, you know, 1 point. The team we about to play, Carolina. I mean, if you look at the games they've lost very small margin games. I mean, they lost to Chicago and Atlanta with last minute field goals.
Right.
You know, so they're losing by very small margins. You know, when we beat them 10-6. So, you know, I mean, it's small margins, but that's the thing about this league. I mean, it can go either way. So getting a win is very difficult.
And this team right now at 5-4 has been able to get three of them in a row. We're happy for that. All right, we go to the phones, and let's start with Pete in Tampa on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Say hey to Gerald McCoy, Pete.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much for taking my call. How you doing, GMC?
What's up, Pete?
Good. And, hey, real quick. I know that the NFL is a find-you-out league. I mean, it's no different than a guy who comes in Major League Baseball with a good fastball or something like that. You know, there's enough film out there that people will find you out. Cam Newton seems like a completely different quarterback this year than he has been in the past. I'm not taking anything away from him. I still think that he's one of the best in the NFL, no doubt. But it seems like he's staying in the pocket a lot longer. It seems like they're trying to preserve him a little bit more, keeping him from taking the big hits. And I just wanted to see from a defense how you guys, when you're able to shut down a rushing attack, which I really don't think, I mean, unless you see things different than what I've been seeing, I don't think that they have the rushing attack to hurt you at all. They don't have big game breakers. They don't have guys that you haven't seen already. I mean, what you did at Jamal Charles and those guys, they don't have that type of running back. They will – I have a feeling that they are going to try to change things a lot this game with getting Cam Newton out of the pocket more to get guys that, you know, the younger DBs out of their position and try to hit shots with Steve Smith and LaFell and those guys. But I just want to tell you, man, that I've never seen – I've been watching Bucks for over 28 years. I've never seen a team quite like this before in my life. You guys seem to score from all angles of the minute you step on the field. So I just want to congratulate you on that and just, you know, pray for constant health for you and the rest of the team. I'll hang up. I just wanted you to answer just to see how you guys game plan for Cam Newton.
All right. He gave us a lot there, but it kind of boils down to
– it was all – I mean, he just, you know, went into detail about his question, but it was a very straightforward question, which was basically Cam Newton.
Does he look different to you?
Regardless of what we've seen before, this is the NFL, and you have to prepare for each team as if you're preparing for the Super Bowl. You know, everybody, you know, says, well, you know, the Super Bowl's, you know, it's different, or this is the playoffs, this is your last shot. Well, you have to prepare for each game like it's your last shot, regardless of who you're playing, because on any given Sunday, I say this all the time, on any given Sunday, any given team can lose. It doesn't matter who you are or what's going on. You know, nobody really expected Atlanta to go in and lose to the Saints. I mean, nobody did, you know, but they did, and it happened. Take the Patriots and the Giants in 07. Patriots were undefeated and, I mean, just going through everybody, and then the Giants come in and win. You know, it's just that's the type of league we're in. So regardless of what they have or what we've seen, you know, we have to prepare for them as if we've never seen it before, and we have to erase our memory and learn them all over again, because we can't go into the game like, oh, well, you know, week one we did this and it worked, and, you know, they don't have this for us, and we can't do that. We have to, you know, go blank, and everything that's coming in has to be like we haven't seen it before. And that's the type of urgency we have when we prepare for Cam.
When you see him this year, does it look throws, composure, that does it look like the same Cam Newton that you've seen before? Can't tell that much difference?
Well, the thing with rookies is you don't know anything about them. I mean, you kind of can go off what they did in college, you know, sort of, but you don't know anything about these guys. And the great thing about this league is the coaches in this league are so smart. You know, they put together entire offenses around one guy, and that's what Carolina did for him. Well, you know, with this league being the way it is, it's very smart, and people pick up on stuff really quick. So he put a whole year of that on tape. So people are just starting to pick up on it. Well, you know, people want to call it a sophomore slump or whatever it is. I don't believe in that. I just believe people have up and down years. He's having the year he's having, but the guy is still an amazing talent, and he could break out at any given moment. So we can't focus on what he's been doing. We have to prepare for him as if he's the best. And that's how we focus and lock in on opponents.
Voice of Gerald McCoy is with us here on Buccaneers Total Access on these Wednesday nights. We go back to the phones. Here's George in Tampa on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, George.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, George.
Two questions for you. My first one is, do you feel like the game has slowed down for you? You've been playing incredibly consistent and disruptive. That's the first question. And two, when Cam Newton drives down the field and he scores and he does that Superman dance or pose, whatever he does, do you want to just go out there? I mean, does that motivate you at all? Because as a fan, I'm ready to put my pads on. I'm ready to go after the guy. But thanks for taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Well, thank you for the compliment. You know, I appreciate it. And, you know, I appreciate you supporting me and, you know, just the team, supporting the team in general. You know, we want to win. We want to win. And as simple as that, there's no, you know, one particular incident or, you know, celebration or anything like that. Motivates me, but
you saw.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't. Opening day, because I didn't get to face the guy last year,
right?
Because I was injured, and I watched him do Superman entirely too many times, and it was kind of. I didn't like it.
Right.
I didn't like it. I like the Avengers.
So, right, you're more of a Batman guy, right?
Yeah.
Or more of a Captain America.
I rock Batman.
Okay. Well, in the Denver game, and fans see this, Doomerville got a sack, or was it Von Miller? I think it was Von Miller got a sack early on in the game, and he did the Superman thing. Got up and did the Superman thing, just for whatever it's worth. So fans see this, and they just wonder.
A lot of people, you know, a lot of people do different stuff. I don't even celebrate, but when I sacked him in the first game, I turned to the sideline and closed my shirt. You know, he opens his, I turn to the sideline and close mine. You know, it's just everybody celebrates how they celebrate. You seen early in the year, J.J. Watt sacked Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers does the championship belt.
Yep.
Well, J.J. Watt did the championship belt and then took the belt off and threw it. You know, it's just like, I mean, people do different. It's just people mock guys. But his celebration is what it is. I don't plan on seeing it at all. I really don't want to see it. And, you know, the fact that I dislike it that much can be a motivating factor. But, you know, we have to focus on more than just Cam because they have a lot of dangerous weapons.
Again, we go back to the phone. Steve has been waiting in Sarasota. You're on Buccaneers Total Access here with Gerald McCoy. Steve.
That's a great show.
Thank you.
Gerald?
Steve, what's going on, brother?
I'm an old man. I've been a season ticket holder since 1976. Brought my sons up as Bucs fans. And let me tell you what's happening this weekend. I've got my Army son from Fort Jackson, and I've got my Air Force son from Andrews and D.C. They are coming to the game, and they are going to be rooting for Gerald McCoy and the Bucs.
You're talking about in Charlotte now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One of them's driving down to Columbia, they're both driving up to Charlotte, and they're going to tailgate. There is, I pulled it up on a website, there is a Buccaneers fan club in Charlotte, and they're going to tailgate with them and then come to the game.
I can dig it.
Isn't that great?
And yeah, Steve, great. Steve, did you say they're both in the military? You said one is at Andrews?
Yeah, one's in the Army, one's in the Air Force.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that's legit.
Veterans Day and what's going on.
Yeah. Good luck, Gerald.
Thanks, Steve.
Go Bucs.
How about that?
Yeah, that's great. Steve, you know, you talk to your sons. Tell them the Buccaneers, thanks them for their service and the things they do for this country. Secondly, that's great. Those guys are driving down the tailgate and coming to the game. We definitely going to need them because we're going into hostile territory. This team has their back against the wall, and all they can do is swing and fight as hard as they can. You know, they firing people left and right. You know, they trying to change some things up, but they going to come out swinging. And we're going into hostile territory with 53 guys, our coaches, and let's do it. Let's do it. That's the joy of going on the road. And what's even better is when you can go in to hostile territory with your small group of people and just take the energy out of the building. You know, that's the greatest feeling.
Speaking of the military, perfect segue here to what we had on Sunday with Military Appreciation Day, mm-hmm. Veterans Day. They had the fan card stunt there in the first quarter where all the fans held up the thank you military on one side, thank you veterans on the other.
I love that.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
I loved that.
When it did that. What was that like just overall to be part of the pregame festivities, that thing in the first quarter, have some of those military guys outside the locker room, be part of all that, Gerald?
Nah, it was an amazing feeling, man, to see the men and women that fight for this country. And we get to go out there and, you know, make them smile by entertaining them with this game we play. You know, it was a really good feeling to see those men and women out there smiling, you know, with what they have to go through day in and day out. You know, it felt great.
And it was a neat flyover and the whole fan card thing, and it makes you feel patriotic as they did that all around the NFL, and we obviously did it there at Raymond James Stadium. All right, we have time for one more here before the timeout. David is in Los Angeles. We told you out with technology. Buck fans are everywhere. David in Los Angeles. You're on with Gerald McCoy here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just wanted to talk to you guys real quick. A lot of people are kind of skeptical with the interceptions or that, you know, that we're not sacking the quarterback a lot. But one thing that I did notice in the game was that you, Gerald, and a lot of the guys on the line were hitting the quarterback a lot. And I think that's mainly the reason why Phillip Rivers threw that pick. if you continue to hit the quarterback like that, whether you sack them or not, that stays in their mind. And I think that's one of the main reasons why we get interceptions like that. And I just want to say you guys are also doing a great job, because you guys are not getting flagged or anything. You know, you guys are doing a great job keeping it in the midsection. And, you know, I know that's pretty hard to do coming off of the line when you got the job to do. And then you got to worry about, you know, not hitting the quarterback in the head and all that stuff. So keep up the good work. And, you know, there's a lot of fans that do realize that you guys are doing a great job.
All right.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
There you go.
He sees it. It's not always about the numbers.
Right.
It's not always about the numbers. If you could pressure the quarterback and keep him running around the pocket and keep him uncomfortable, you don't always, I mean, the sacks are great and the sack fumbles are even better. But if you can keep the quarterback on the run and force him into bad throws, I mean, our job is to keep the quarterback uncomfortable, whether it's sacking him or, you know, just making him throw the ball away, or, you know, making them throw bad throws. That's our job. And, you know, I think we kind of go under the radar with that, because we actually do pressure the quarterback more than we get credit for. But, oh, well, you know, the only number we're focused on is the wins and losses column. And for the past three games, you know, we've been on the upper end of that, so feels good.
Like that number in particular. All right. By the way, you can tweet questions and comments. You can do so at Buck Sideline Guy. Tweet me at Buck Sideline Guy.
That's a long season, man. We got seven more games.
Yep.
That's amazing.
That's what we were talking about.
Seven games. I don't think people realize that's a whole bunch of games left.
That's right.
Okay.
Long way to go.
Yeah.
We were talking about that earlier in the show, and you know, Buck fans got to hang in there for the ride with the way that this thing has gone to this point to get three straight wins and set up the months of November and December. A question on Twitter here from JT. JT says, it seems that you're more effective when you're free to rush straight up. Is there a chance that we'll see more of that and less stunting? You guys have not stunted necessarily a lot there on that, but I mean, you know, being freed up, any lineman wants to be one-on-one, right? That's the ultimate goal, is a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah.
Double teams and triple teams, though, are a great compliment too, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. A double team is, it's definitely a compliment. You know, because early on in the season, I got a lot of one-on-ones. And, you know, my coaches told me, hey, if you get one-on-ones, you're the guy we expect to win. And I was. You know, I was winning my one-on-ones, pressuring the quarterback. Well, as the season went on, I was steady hitting the quarterback. But now I'm starting to get, you know, an overabundance of double teams. But when I do get my one-on-ones, it's my job to win. And the times you guys do see me pressure the quarterback, sometimes that is through a double team. Sometimes it's a one-on-one. But, you know, it's everybody. You know, our philosophy is if somebody else is getting double teamed, somebody's getting the one-on-one.
There you go.
And if you get the one-on-one, you got to win. And that's what our coaches expect of us. So me personally – that's my role. I don't mind it, because one is respect, and two is helping. You know, I'm doing my job for the team, and three is helping everybody else out. You know, I don't mind it.
They can't double team everybody unless for the front four they leave eight guys in to block, which is very rare that'll happen. So somebody somewhere is going to get
– somebody's going to get the one-on-one, and on this team we expect you to win.
That's the name of the game. All right, we will continue. We've got some other things to cover with you, including the Lakers, which is one of your basketball teams. They make a coaching change. We'll get your thought on – oh, he's shaking his head already. We'll get your thought on that. We'll talk more about the Panthers
Let's talk about the Thunder.
Well, and the Thunder have a big one tonight on national TV, too. But I want to ask you about the Laker thing, too. I can already tell you're not pleased. Okay. We'll do that coming up. It's Buccaneers Total Access. Stay with us here on this Wednesday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Continue on talking Buccaneer football. If you're listening to us live here on Wednesday night, you can hear these shows on Buccaneers.com as well as our radio partner 620WDAE.com. You can hear them podcasted. But if you're hearing us live There is breaking news. It put a smile on your face a second ago. David Price of the Tampa Bay Rays has won the American League Cy Young Award, which is pretty prestigious baseball pitching award. So two thumbs up for that. Big moment for the Rays in their history. Even though it didn't work out for them to be in the playoffs, he had a fantastic season. So there's
Tampa taking over.
So there you go. Some breaking news on that one. And before we get back to the phones, the breaking news over the weekend in the NBA, because you've told us before on this show, you're a Lakers fan and a Thunder fan.
Yeah, a little bit.
So let's go. Lakers.
Give me a second.
Yeah, Lakers.
I have to take this in. Okay. People keep saying, now let's use logic, people. Who would honestly have two coaches, Mike D'Antoni, and the winningest championship coach in history of the league on the same scale and pick Mike D'Antoni?
Apparently the Lakers would.
That's not what happened. If you use logic and you really think about it, Phil, he took that break, which, you know, I think he just needed a break. Well, you don't fire your coach five games in unless somebody already says they're coming, okay? I believe Phil was coming, but I also believe, it's just speculation, but, you know, this is what I believe happened. I also believe he wanted too much power that they didn't want to give to him. He wanted to pick his successor. He wanted to bring in his own coaches, and he wanted to do what Phil wanted to do. I don't think the Lakers wanted to give him that much power. Everybody said, oh, it was a money issue. I don't think it was a money issue.
Please.
I don't think it was.
They have this new deal. I don't know if you're familiar with this. They have this new deal out there with Time Warner Cable that is paying them hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're the Lakers, by the way.
Exactly.
I don't think money's an issue.
It was a money issue. I truly believe Phil wanted too much power. They didn't want to give it to him. Mike D'Antoni said, hey, look, I'll just coach him. He said, all right, we'll go with it.
You don't think Kobe, that Kobe Bryant signed off on it, though, too?
I mean, Kobe, he co-signed him. He said, you know, I love – he called him PJ. He said, I love PJ, but I'm very excited to play for, you know, Mike, is what he said with Coach D'Antoni. So, hey, it is what it is. I'm just a fan. What do I know?
All right, so but again, you also root for the Thunder here. I think part of the motivation here is they want to play
tonight.
Thunder is on national TV with somebody
they
tonight.
Play, on TNT tonight, right?
I think, yeah, they're on national TV with somebody tonight. We'll have to look, but I think part of the motivation for the Lakers,
is it San Antonio.
You might be right.
I think it's
that.
San Antonio.
I think you're right, yeah. But part of the motivation for the Lakers in making the move, is it not that they want to play a different up-tempo, faster style than what they played last year and what they were playing at the beginning of this year? And that's D'Antoni's – that's his specialty, is to play the up-tempo style.
Yeah. I mean, you do have your Kobe and your Pau Gasol who, you know, who's more half-court players, but – you know, Kobe, he's getting older, but he can still run. He can still run. But you have your these younger guys who you bring in who can run, but everything runs through your point guard. If you have a dominant point guard and big man, you can run things. You know, that's what Utah had. You know, they had John Stockton and the mailman. You know, regardless of whether he was the four or the five, he was the big man. And now we have Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard can run the floor.
Sure.
Pau Gasol can run the floor better than people give him credit for. Kobe can run when he wants to, but Kobe don't run because he chooses not to. And he's, you know, he's old for the NBA. He's old. You know, he's saving his legs. But Steve Nash, that's what he does. He gets up and down the floor. So it can work for us, but I just like seeing Phil, you know, whistle and then do the triangle. There it is. Let's go win.
Yeah, the triangle
offense.
Let's go win
two more.
By the way, Thunder and Grizzlies tonight is the game.
Yeah, the Grizzlies.
On the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm a Memphis guy. I'm not a Grizzlies guy.
Two games. Who else play?
There's a late game, too. We'll have to figure out what that is. But
late game would probably be West Coast.
We'll have to look. It's not the Lakers.
Golden State or something.
I don't think so. It's not the Lakers, though. And D'Antoni's not supposed to coach till the weekend. Because he's still
recovering, right?
He had knee replacement surgery. That's how big of a surprise this was to him.
Right.
He had had knee replacement surgery and is not even available to coach in the short term for the last couple of games that they've played since they've hired him. All right, 990-4620. Oh, Clippers are the – Miami and the Clippers tonight.
The Clippers play Miami?
Yeah.
I got to get into bed, but I might watch the first quarter.
All right. Well, there you go. Some viewing habits for later on for Gerald McCoy. 990-4620 if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And 1-800-596-BUCKS is the toll-free number to join us.
Fans, go get Halo 4.
Well,
I haven't played Call of Duty. I got it. I didn't go to the 12 o'clock release, but I do have it. I haven't played it yet, but
somebody is,
I know this is random, but I must tell you, well, go get Halo 4.
Okay, but wait a minute. Halo 4 has been out, right?
Since last Thursday.
Okay, so it's been out like a week. Because I got a guy on Twitter who says, you have to ask Gerald about Black Ops 2. Has he played against the zombies? Now, is Black Ops 2 also just out?
That's the Call of Duty that just released.
So it's just out.
Yes.
Well, we're covering all angles.
I haven't played Call of Duty yet, but Halo 4 is, if you're a Halo fan, not everybody's a Halo fan. A lot of people are Call of Duty fans. I've had some Halo fans who, because Halo fell off, are now Call of Duty fans. But if you're a former Halo fan, or if you always were, it's back to old form. Go get it.
Let's check the priority list, all right? Laker game or Halo 4, what's the priority list right now if you have a free hour?
If I had a free hour between the two right now?
Right now.
At this moment?
To watch the new Lakers with D'Antoni, let's say.
Lakers.
Okay. But you're not knocking the video game.
Halo, no, I'm not knocking the video game, but it's online. I can play it whenever. This game is on now, but I also have a DVR recorder so I could watch the game later. So it could be Halo, but I'll go with the game. I'd rather watch it right there.
All right, back to the phones. Here is Chris in South Carolina, who's been waiting patiently. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, Gerald? You just talked to my dad a little bit ago. Me and my brother. Yeah, we're coming up to the game this weekend.
Oh, man. Hey, first, you asked me a question, and I'll tell you what I got to say.
Oh, no, I was just going to give a shout-out and say we're coming, and I'm glad to hear you're a Lakers fan, and I'm hoping D'Antoni works out, but that's only it. Only if they can run the floor, and I don't know if they can do
Listen to Chris breaking down the hoops, too.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, Chris.
Chris, you're in the Army, correct?
Correct.
And you're stationed near Charlotte at, is it Fort Stewart, Georgia?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay, in Columbia, South Carolina. Pretty cool. So you have a question for Gerald?
I just wanted to let him know that we don't plan on seeing any Superman this weekend. No Superman.
No doubt. Chris, you're the man. You are the man. Chris is the man. What's your brother's name? Right.
Kyle.
Kyle. Chris and Kyle. I can dig it.
And Kyle's in the Air Force.
And Steve.
And Steve is the dad here
Steve
in Sarasota.
Steve is Pops.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks. Be safe.
Chris,
tailgating.
I don't know if you heard me a minute ago, but I told your dad to tell you and your brother, Chris and Kyle, if you guys are listening, from the Bucks to you guys, we really – truly, from the bottom of our heart, appreciate what it is you guys do. You do something that a lot of people wouldn't even think to do, which is risk your lives every day for this country. So we thank you. Now, we also thank you for your support of the Buccaneers, man. We're definitely going to need all we can going into this hostile territory. So Steve, Chris, and Kyle, appreciate you guys. Keep rooting for us and keep praying for us, definitely.
Interesting on who's listening. We had a caller from Los Angeles. Now we got Chris there who's coming to the game, who lives in Columbia, South Carolina at Fort Stewart there that's coming. Jonathan has sent me a tweet, says, massive Buck fan in England listening late tonight live. This Buck fan wants to know, do you have any pregame rituals? And says, let's go Bucks this Sunday. Do you have a pregame ritual of any kind, superstition at all?
Nah, I'm not superstitious. I just
don't have to listen to the same music.
Nah, I mean I have a lot of songs I like listening to, but I don't have any, you know, like pregame rituals or anything like that. I just say my prayers and
go do your thing.
Yep.
Like that. Again, you can tweet questions and comments, and some more of you are doing that. Do so at Bucks Sideline Guy. We'll take more of your calls. We will pause here and come back and talk Carolina Panthers a little more, too. That's the matchup Sunday at 1. We're on the air at noon with the pregame. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Come back here with Gerald McCoy as we get ready for the Carolina Panthers and the matchup on Sunday. You know, one thing I was asking the coach, I was asking Rondé, I'd love to have your opinion. The first meeting was all the way back in week one. Now we're 8 or 9 weeks later. How much do you go back and look at week one as opposed to looking at what they've done more recently in the last 2 or 3 games if you're studying this team, analyzing this team, because it was so long ago, the first matchup?
You know, Carolina stays pretty true to what they do. They're going to try and run the ball. That's what they do. They run the ball, and then they bring in a quarterback who had his last year, what did he have, 20 rushing touchdowns or something like that?
Right.
25.
Set the record.
Like that? Yeah.
Yep.
I'm talking about in college. His last year, he had
20-plus,
whatever. He had 20-plus rushing touchdowns.
And he broke the NFL record as a rookie for rushing touchdowns.
So clearly he can run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then you bring him in his rookie year, and he breaks the, you know, quarterback record for rushing touchdowns. So why not run the ball? You have those two running backs you just paid. You bring in Tolbert, and then you got this quarterback who can run. Why not run the ball? But Cam has a big arm, too. And with a lot of teams focusing on the run, you can, you know, change up a lot of things and base a lot of stuff off your run game. And Carolina stays pretty true to that. So we just have to be ready for all the different dynamics they have. They have a lot of explosive players. And Steve Smith, who's been doing it for, you know, I think he's a future Hall of Famer. He's been doing it for a lot of years at a high level. And then you have Olsen, I mean, I think he's the leading receiver as far as receptions goes. You got Brandon LaFell. I mean, they have a lot of different weapons they can use. So, you know, we just got to be ready for everything.
Back to the phones. While we have a moment, here is John, who I believe is in Charlotte. You're on here with Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, John.
Hey, man, how you guys doing today?
All right, John, how you doing?
Doing real well, man. Super excited for the game Sunday. I go every single year you guys come up, which is every year.
Great.
All right, man. Well, I guess I wanted to ask you, you know, the question for me was going to be, how has it been working with Coach Chiano, number one? And I just want to also let you know that you are the second jersey since my Warren Sapp purchase in my history. You are the second jersey I bought since I bought my Warren Sapp. So it's an honor to talk to you, man.
Now, I'm curious, John, have you been did you used to live in the Tampa Bay area, or have you just been a Buck fan in Charlotte or wherever you've been?
Well, I was born in Miami, but raised in St. Pete, Tampa, Newport Richey, that whole area there.
And so now you've been in Charlotte
up here for 5 years.
5 years, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
Good enough. Thank you, John. So he wants to know about playing for the new coach, Coach Shannon.
Coach is the man. He really is, and he's pretty straightforward with his beliefs, and what he believes, he sticks to. And he's not going to change it. And it's his way or the highway. I mean, it's just as simple as that. Because he's seen his way work, and he truly believes it works. And, he believes in fundamentals and technique and being very organized and prepared for your opponents and or anything you do. And he believes in having class while you do it. So, you know, to play for a coach like that is amazing. He believes in hard work. And hard work pays off, and everything else falls into place. It takes care of itself. So, that's kind of how he's been, and it's great, and it's working for us, you know. And I truly believe not just me, but everybody enjoys it. And as far as the jersey goes, man, that's, you know, you said it was an honor to talk to me. No, that's an honor for me to hear that from you, man. That's very humbling, and because 99 is in a class of his own. And, for me to be the only other jersey, that's an honor. So I really appreciate that, John.
All right. A couple more people on Twitter have asked a couple of things. Let's see. Brandon wants to know, can you ask how tough is it to go against the offensive line in practice and who gives you the biggest challenge on the O-line? He's talking about in practice, our own offensive line.
Our offensive line?
Uh-huh.
Well, in season, we don't face our offensive line much. But as far as training camp and stuff goes, you know, I have to give it to, you know, two of our fallen soldiers, and Davin Joseph and Carl Nix. You never can get a break. You know, Davin Joseph, who I faced for the first 2 years, and then, you know, you go to the other side, and it's never easy to face any offensive lineman on this team, but it's not as hard as going against a Davin Joseph. Well, you bring in a Carl Nix, and it's like, really? Hey, can I play defensive end or something? You know, you just – and then you go to defensive end, and you got a Donald Penn. It's like, what do I do? You know, it's just – Our O-line is, you know, amazing, man. And they've played well. You know, they play better than well with, you know, two all-pro guards going down and protecting our quarterback the way they've been. And, you know, it's helping our quarterback play at a very high level. But, yeah, to answer your question, it would be Davin Joseph and Carl Nix, definitely.
Another guy, Philip on Twitter, who's a big Buck fan in California, he says to us, can you talk more about number 50, Daniel, and he's meaning Daniel Teo-Nessim, who has gotten an opportunity with the unfortunate injury to Adrian Claiborne. Teo's there and got a sack last week and has been putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, too. What's it like there in the meeting room to have him there on Sundays?
Teo, he's a hard worker, man. He's always he doesn't focus on anything but his assignment. And when he feels like he didn't do his assignment or that he didn't do his job well enough to help his teammates, it bugs him. So, you know, that's a great quality, man. All he wants to do is do his job the best he can do it. And me and him, we've been meeting in the meeting room. Because he's an edge guy, but when we rush the passer, he has to move down inside, and we bring in Bauer. So, you know, I've been kind of helping him with his inside rush a little bit, but you know that guy, he's been real good for us.
A lot of people would wonder what's the difference. Just rush the quarterback. There is a difference.
A huge difference.
You move feet
because you. I mean, inside there's not that much space. Outside, you have a lot of room, man. You can loosen up and you can run the edge. Inside, I don't think people realize how hard it is to get to the quarterback from the inside because there's no space. And if you beat one guy, there's a guy standing right there. Where at end, if you beat your tackle, most likely the guy on the inside is facing a defensive tackle, so he's just focused on you. So, you know, inside double team, you got two offensive linemen. An outside double team, you may have a tackle and a tight end or a tackle and a running back, you know, opposed to inside where you got a guard and a center or, you know, even sometimes you get the tackle and the guard. It's just you never know what you're going to get, but it's definitely two offensive linemen.
And it's back to earlier what you were saying, that being single team versus being double teamed, if you're going to play in the inside, you better be ready to be double teamed.
Definitely.
A lot of the time.
A lot because protection slide and they do a lot of different things in this league where – you know, you just got to be a man down there. You definitely do because your body's going to hurt after the game.
Yeah, that's a sign that you've been battling hard, though, come Monday when you're sore. All right, we got a couple of moments left here. Daquan Bowers, you mentioned him. He's been back in there now for three games. How's he coming along? We got to see some more of him on Sunday. What's it like to have number 91 back there?
Well, it's great, man. He's been putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback for us, you know, in our pass rush downs, and he's slowly but surely starting to get more reps on first and second down, you know. And he's, you know, you always have some growing pains, and he's had his, you know, his share of them of growing pains. But for the most part, you know, what we've asked him to do, he's done. And it definitely on pass downs, man, he puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and he makes those offensive tackles work. So it's great to have him back.
All right, final moment or two of the show here to Charlotte for a rematch. This is the first rematch this year. You see those division teams twice every season. This is the rematch with Carolina and a chance to be 6-4. So there's obviously a lot riding on this Carolina season, as you guys call it.
Yeah, definitely. This is the Carolina season. focus, lock in, have short memory, and focus on the task at hand. You know, this is not a business trip we're going on. It's a mission we have to go on, and we're going into hostile territory. If we go in there and play our game, we have a very good shot of getting a win, a big win.
And again, it would be a fourth consecutive win if you can get it to set up for what happens here at the end of the season. It's good to hear that there's going to be some Buccaneer fans that are going to be there. We've seen some Buccaneer fans the last two times on the road in the jerseys and whatnot. That's
definitely,
it's always good in hostile territory, right?
Carolina, Halo 4, Lakers, Thunder. Let's go.
Your week is set now for what you got going on. Listen, thanks for sitting down here with us again tonight, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Thank you, Gerald.
All right. See you guys.
All right. There is number 93. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping out at the station. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. We will do this again next Wednesday night. Buccaneers and Panthers Sunday at 1. We're on the air at noon on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.